The hell was that?
You didn't understand it?
No. I'm like clueless. Well, it just, you know me, and I've been, you and I've been trying to work on getting this actual reasonable sounding.
Good news,
did you? What have you?
He was revolting cocks.
That's nice.
Did you not understand it?
I couldn't hear it.
Do you think
like I was so distraught at how horrible the sound quality was. I didn't catch any of it.
That's why we are low standards and pores. Sunday, yeah. August 23rd, episode 25.314. Hi for all you guys, whatever that are thinking.
Right. About. It should have been actually 24. Well,
yeah, whatever. 3 points. So whatever. What are you doing? Are you spraying shit back there again?
Yeah, I'm left.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, you know, you start off with the shitty music or shitty sounding music, and I start off with the spraying of the what you call it. So we're a banner start to our awesome, well reasoned and thought about.
We are low standards and pores, episode 20 something. August 23rd, 9:01.
Recast that Detroit, so we can Rock start City. Over. Yeah.
Say what?
You're trying to recast that so we can start over.
Yeah, I'm trying to make it more smooth.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's awesome. I love you.
What do you got for tonight, Bill?
You be the radio host. No, I'm just talking with the way you talk and all that stuff. I'm not going to be professional for the rest of my life.
You are a professional. Well,
I was never a professional. I was a professional.
You're always a professional.
It's lie all you want. I appreciate it. Thanks, man.
You're welcome.
So I guess the question I had emailed you was, what are we? What's going to be the big fear 100 years from now? I mean, right now, everybody's freaking out about, there's the election going on and nobody's going to be able to vote because, COVID and the monkey cheese is trying to shut down the post office. So disenfranchise as many people as he can because, that's – and so we're all freaking out about stuff like that. Well, you know what? Let's just take a break from the hectic, crazy bullshit of today.
Yeah, for sure.
Let's look 100 years in advance and go, what's going to be the hectic bullshit that's going on then? Can there be something more nightmarish out there?
You talking about where music's going here in another 100 years? 50 years?
I'm talking about technology first. And then
technology? Music.
Yeah, because, the technology, I sort of look at it like music and technology sort of ride each other on a sort of a back and forth. Sometimes technology is the wave and the music rides the wave. And sometimes music is the wave and technology is riding that wave. And it's sort of this back and forth dance of technology versus music to see, which one of them is going to advance the next and make the next big thing. So I was thinking we talk about a little bit of the technology shit first and set it up because, I'm thinking, we had what was the speed of records in, was it 78? Back in the
we had 33 by the time we got like.
Well, I'm talking about back in the 30s, there were 78.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
And then,
33, 45, 33, 78. Yeah, yeah.
And the 78 was the oldest kind, and that was ear phonographs and all that stuff. Well, the music it was. Great technology for the time, but then we started getting into all sorts of circuitry stuff, and then we go off to the moon, and then the technology gets better, and instruments were pretty much the same for the longest time until the 50s, 40s, and 50s when the guitar comes out.
Yeah, yeah.
An electric guitar.
Electric guitar.
Yeah, I don't know. Did that revolutionize anything?
I don't think so.
How many electric guitars do you remember hearing about in the 30s?
Not many.
Yeah, kind of like none.
Yeah, zero none.
As far as I know. Yeah. You know me, I do all my research so well. it's also fun when you can find your research in the bottom of a bottle.
Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. No, I think part of this conversation tonight is going to be about where is music progressing. I think if we look back, and especially with you and I, Bill, we can go from 8 tracks to cassettes, which we thought was a pretty big deal. I think if we look back, I think if you're buying Maxell or Teak, there was an argument about how well the tapes recorded and how what kind of recording you got out of that tape. Do you remember that? No? Am I just sitting here talking to myself again? Oh, Bill canceled himself out. Hold on a second. All right, you're back again. Talking to myself. We have El Carpe coming down with some problems here. And I'm going to try to get him back online. So it's Low Stands and Pours. And we are talking about how is music going to evolve from today for the next 100 years. And El Carpe was supposed to be my host tonight. And I'm not exactly sure what he's doing. I don't know. El Carpe, are you there? I guess I can certainly talk about this in myself the entire night, but let's see what he's got to say if we can get him back online. Talk to me, brother. Did you fall off your stool? What would happen to you? Let me shut down some stuff here. Let me see if I can get him back online. It sounds like maybe he muted himself out. Could that be it? He can hear me. Oh, he says, hey. 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 About Numb Nuts, we are live. I hope everybody else is enjoying their weekend and their evening. Detroit Rock City is nice and about 90 degrees and a little bit humid. No showers. A great night to be kind of hanging out and relaxing with friends and getting ready to get this podcast started until Bill figures out what the hell he's doing. Until that, I will just keep yakking. We talked about where is music evolving to from today for the next 50 to 100 years. And it's an interesting topic, we think, because looking back on where it has started, it started with the single individuals. Are you there, El Carpe?
I are now.
Okay. Are you okay?
Yeah. Okay. I don't know what I did. I'm technologically.
We're gonna pass judgment on you.
Oh, feel free to.
Podcast.
Don't let me interrupt. What were you doing? How were you covering for my stupidity there for a second? It sounded like you were smart. Go ahead, finish up.
So I was saying is that Bill and I have both experienced music from probably the vinyl album and 8-track to what we thought was the next big thing, which was cassette. And there was no arguments about maybe what was better. Was it a Maxell or a Teak cassette? I don't think any of us could really tell the difference, but it was just kind of a general argument that we had as new technology came about. But the big jump, I think, was CDs.
Yeah, when it went digital.
Yeah, when it went digital, when it was CDs, that kind of erased a lot of the arguments. It couldn't get any better than a CD. Don't you agree?
Well, yeah. I mean, the quality of sound when it was – and I remember when CDs first came out because they had a code on a lot of the old ones. Like I have a couple of old ABC CDs. You remember them from the 80s?
Of course I do.
The Look of Love and blah, blah, blah. So yeah. I have – and on the CD – it says ADD or AAD in a little box. And it was because it was analog recorded, analog mixed, and then digitally mastered.
Really? Right. Okay.
So, you know, the best was, and early on, most of the DDD, digital recorded, digital analog, you know, and all three of those things was your classical music.
Sure.
Most of classical music was way ahead of the curve when it came to music and sound quality. It got so much where there's somewhere you can hear the guy setting down his instrument in, you know, really? This huge orchestra, you know, and it's, you know, it's just, it, there were so many, I don't even know where I was going with that, but, you know, but like I said, classical seemed like it was really ahead of the curve. And then everybody else started to catch up with that. And then, yeah, the sound quality got to be real crystal clear and very delicious, but there's something about that.
Almost too perfected.
Something, right?
Right.
There's something missing in,
I agree.
Almost like a fullness in the sound if you play the old vinyl record, right?
You had your highs and your lows, but you didn't have any mids. There was no depth to it. It was just kind of like, you know, here's your music.
On the digital, you mean?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I'm not sure if I'm correct with all that, but...
That's what it seems like.
When you go back to listening to vinyl on some of the best receivers with the best stereo wire to the best speakers, there's a lot of dynamics. But I think what happened over the years, it got so clean and refined, it lost that. It's like it's a difference between listening to music and going to hear music live. You lose that part that is live. That, you know, there's maybe a mistake, maybe there was like a you know, a little hiccup somewhere, whatever, blah, blah. But it's so fine-tuned, you don't think about ever having those hiccups, you know?
Right.
Does that make sense?
I'm with you on that. You know, all right. And I'm sure there's at least one other person that's not related to us listening who will go, you know, that Eric guy is making some sense.
A little bit. Probably a lot more than last week.
Oh, I don't know. What were you doing? What was wrong with you last week?
That's right.
You were seven sheets to the wind last week.
Yeah, a couple too many clear beers. Fuck balls. I was pouring them a little stiff.
Good for you.
But
we need it once in a while, man.
Yeah, but you know, there's something to be said about, you know, growing up in the 70s, 60s, 70s, and going from vinyl to 8-track to cassette to CD to a digital format. And it's like, okay, question is,
now it's all in the cloud.
Now where do you go?
Right. Where does music go from here? And, you know, I had a lot of thoughts as to, you know, are we going to go back to like a retro type thing? You know, or actually, my first thought was, is it's going to go to where, like, you program a computer to say, I have these lyrics and I need you to give me a rhythm, you know, and it's almost like completely programmable and there's some software where you can just, you know, make up words and it spits out a rhythm that's supposedly popular and marketable. And then, or you have a rhythm that you like and you play it into a computer and then it spits out some words for you and then you can randomly tweak or whatever. I don't know. There's got to be some kind of program that helps people write stuff. And it's going to get to, let me finish this thought.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's going to get to a point where it's almost so mechanical and so blasé, like there's no depth to it, there's no feeling to it. It's just like, yeah, we're spitting out music and people are buying stuff, and then somebody's going to come back, you know, 10 years, 15, 20 years after, you know, the market being flooded with, you know, stale, useless music, and someone's going to come back and go, I just bought this retro guitar from, you know, somebody's estate sale. And then folk music is going to come back, or something goofy, like some retro thing, you know.
Right.
It's just going to come back, and people are going to go, oh my God, what a great sound, because a whole generation will have missed.
Yeah.
You know, that's where I was going with it. Like, you know, at some point, it's going to go back to what really works and what's really full. and or we could be totally screwed, and you know, just our ears are stupid, and we only want to hear the one types of thing because that's how we grew up. And then, you know, I don't know how that works too. I don't know.
You know, this is my answer. You can only listen to things that are so refined to the point where they get almost boring or almost the norm. Then you want to go back and say, you know what? This is the way they used to listen to it in the 70s. It had the scratch, it had the click, it had the, you know, the drop of the needle, it had this, it had that. But I think people are going to start to realize that, you know, the highly refined music isn't maybe where it's at. It's the experience of music and why it was listened to back in the day, you know. You know, people that never sat down and actually put a needle on a record, you know, they can experience that. But it was something that we all experienced, excuse me, years ago that meant something because, you know, it was like you spent your hard-earned money to go buy one album.
Right.
You put the album on top of the record player. You cleaned it with an alcohol and a little fuzzy little thing, and you dropped that needle down, and you listened to that album until that side was over, and you flipped it. It was like we've talked about this before. It was
it's a process.
It is. It's a big process, but it's the way you appreciate music. At the time that you're listening to the album, you're reading the liner notes. To that album, and you learn about how the album was produced, and blah blah blah. You don't get that today. You just get click and play. Who cares?
Right.
Who cares who produced it, when it was produced, the story behind it. It's almost like American Pickers. They pick junk, right? But their big thing is that they pick junk with a story. And that's the difference. That's the difference. Go ahead.
This thought process just came through. There's something about, and this is, it can be on any visual art. And this is, I know so little about psychology. I've only read certain things and understand certain enough about how the human brain works enough to be dangerous.
Sure.
But if you think about it, the best music is what makes your brain think, right?
Yeah, of course.
If the music is perfect, and everything, that's where, when you said it's boring, well, because your brain is not being teased, your brain is not being like stressed and caused to exercise its thought process. But if you get something that is a little bit not quite perfect, and there's a beat off or something, your brain kind of triggers and tries to fix it in its head, you know, in your head, and then there's the you know, if there's the popping or the scratching or the something, your brain tries to fix that to make it as sound. And if your brain is doing that, then that means it's excited and listening and paying attention or whatever. Right. And exactly. Maybe that's something. And I'm sure there's somebody out there who's like really smart on brain stuff that could tell us if I'm even remotely close to. But I think about it like if I look at a what do you call those things? A painting.
A what?
You know, if a painting, you know, like the fine art stuff.
Yeah.
You know, if you think of
CIA or whatever.
Well, yeah, but like if there's somebody who makes this perfect painting, and there's not everything is perfectly balanced, and you know, and all the colors are perfect tones and hues and whatever. It's almost like I look at it and go, well, where's the fun in that? And then you look at a Monet. Isn't he the one that painted with the dots?
Right.
No, because he was nearsighted. Whoever the one that I'm thinking of that painted with just little dots. Because he was nearsighted, and none of his paintings are crystal clear. But your brain fills in and straightens the lines and corrects the gaps. It's we have a blind spot in our eye, and our brain is always filling in that blind spot based on the knowledge that we know around what our eyes are already seeing. You know, it's just, did I just start sounding smart? I'm sorry.
What'd you do?
Sounding smart.
A little bit. No, you're a historian on its own, but
oh, I don't know. That was scary for a moment. I'm sorry. I may have to have some more beer. Go on.
Yeah, no, artist painted by Dot.
Oh, you're Googling it? I think it's Monet.
Yeah, hold on.
And Monet really pumps my ass.
Georgia Surratt. Yep, yep. S-E-U-R-A-T. No.
No, that's not the one I'm thinking of.
Okay. That was the one that was the Sunday afternoon that has the picture of the lady with the big ass that kind of has a rolling hill down to the little lake river. It's all done by Dots. It's not, there's no paint strokes.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just, it doesn't matter.
Well, regardless,
but the whole, you caught the idea of the thought process, though, right? That the brain tries to fill this shit in. That's what I was going with.
I gotcha.
You know, that's just how our mind works.
No, it's you know, I think about, you know, so Bill and I are in our 50s range, and we've seen, like I said, everything from vinyl to 8-track to CD to or cassette to CD to the digital media, and it seems like it's kind of taking a reverse, and people are starting to kind of get back into listening to music on records and whatnot. But the big question we have, and this is why we want to talk about this in the podcast, is where is music going to go in the next 50 to 100 years? In other words, is it going to be just digital music? We don't think so. No. Is it going to be digital music plus something? We think so. But what is it going to be? It's a big question to ask. What's out there? I honestly think, and I'll tell you this, Bill. There is a artist called Lana Del Rey.
Oh yeah,
and she might not be the most talented singer out there. Well, I'll put it to you that way without, you know, cutting her down. But she is probably one of the more artistic singers out there. Okay. And so what I'm getting at is that a lot of her songs came along with a video, 4 or 5 minutes long, maybe 3 or 4 minutes long, that kind of explained what was going on in her song. In other words, she produced a song. Pulled the thing on my ear. She produced a song. They produced the video, but the video kind of explains the song. It's almost like it's a short movie, so to speak. And something's telling me that it's not going to be how well you sing. It's not going to be what you sing about. It's going to be – you're going to be a performer that is able to put this into video or into a short story through video, and people are going to start liking artists more for – or not only for – your singing ability, but it's going to be like a short story.
So it's going to be the song and the rhythm and the feeling behind it. Explain
and what they represent. It's almost
I think
a Van Gogh paints this way, and they also sing this way. A George Surratt, whatever, paints by Dots, paints this way and sings this way. In other words, they're all going to have their own different kind of genres. It's they're going to identify themselves by the way they sing and the videos they have, because everything has gone so far away from the actual voice, and it's all auto-tune now. If you could do it auto-tune,
right,
means like you can sing like Bon Jovi if you want to on record through auto-tune. So if you can do that, the only thing you got to do is marry up into a great video and tell a story about El Carpe's song. So you take El Carpe's song, marry up to a video. It's about 3, 4, 5 minutes. And then that's going to be the new shtick for the next 20, 30 years. It's going to be like a whole experience, not just one guy like a Bob Mayer or what's his name? Bob Mayer, Tom Mayer, whatever. It's not going to be a George Good. It's not going to be a single guy. It's going to be a artist with a video, with a feeling, with a message. I think that's where music is going.
I think you got something there. I get it. It makes sense. I was actually thinking more along the lines of the technology aspect, because like I said, I just think those things are married together. And my thought was that what's going to end up happening is it's going to turn into a, it's not so much that the music itself is going to change. There might be some new instruments created or made to create some different sounds.
Yeah.
And some form of other technology making the recording of it a certain way. But I think all of the next big things are going to be in how we either obtain the music, like in the purchasing of it. What medium it comes down. But hold on, it's even more. It's almost like there's going to be I can imagine a diodes attached to your head while you're, letting your smart car drive you to work.
Right.
And you just have the diodes attached to your head. There's no actual sound coming out, but yet there's some electrical impulse producing the music in your head. You don't even use your ears.
I think that maybe music, as it gets more popular, will become more expensive. You got to pay more for it. But I think music as an art is going to change. If you look at it 50 years ago, it could have been a single musician playing with a guitar or an instrument, right? Today we have a band with five people that play instruments. I think in the next 20 years, there's something that's going to evolve from that. It's not going to be more people playing in a band. There's got to be a twist on it, right?
Right.
So that's my gut feeling. It's gonna go a different way for a different reason. And I think movies have gotten so generic, I think music is gonna mutate with movies, and there's gonna be a bunch of short stories based on music.
That came from MTV and the music video. That's
pretty much.
Yeah,
pretty much. Yeah.
I see where you're headed.
You know what I'm talking about? Like, think about how it could really evolve, you know?
Yeah.
It's
I'm with you. I'm not against you. I'm with you.
Yeah.
You know, that makes sense.
And that's just a gut feeling, but you know, we've gone from a single musician to multiple musicians, and we've gone from multiple musicians to videos with multiple musicians. What's the next thing? I think it's movies. I think they're going to be short movies that people sing and express what they want to. And they're also saying that songs have gotten shorter. They're shorter plays, but I don't agree with that so much. It might be shorter for
movies thing. I think we're going to have more Spinal Tap type movies.
Yeah.
And I think that'd be great.
Yeah. Nope. I hear you. I hear you on that one. Yep.
But it'll be about like real actual bands.
Yeah,
the Beatles doing Help or something like that.
Yeah,
Maybe that will come back, but it'll be sort of in a different genre or a different something or another, some kind of funky something, whatever. I don't know. What are you talking about, man? What'd you do with my glasses?
What do you think? Hold on. I gotta go find out later. Hold on.
Fuck, Paul stole them all.
Later? I don't even know her.
I'm
getting sad on my glasses. Hey, don't get old. Getting old is no fun. You know, if you can avoid it.
She doesn't give a shit. Nobody gives a shit anymore.
I gave one once. It was painful.
Yeah. Me too. Get kicked out all the time.
What'd you do? Oh my God. I just spent the last, while you were doing your thing, I was just looking for my glasses.
Yeah, and you finally found them?
Yeah, they were like, you know, I hang my glasses on my shirt, you know, in the center of my shirt.
Okay.
I'm like, where are they? I thought I had set them down somewhere, and I couldn't find them. Well, I'm wearing them just on my shirt. It's like, you know, you might as well just be wearing them on your head. You know, that old guy trick.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, good luck with that.
Yeah, whatever.
So, I mean, I'm just thinking out here out loud, Bill. If you were placed on this earth 20 years from now, how would music be different?
I don't know. Haven't we been talking about that?
Well, I'm just saying. I mean, what's your thoughts? This is low standards and poor, Bill.
Right. We flog every idea to death on low standards and poor.
I do.
No, we do. That's our job.
Oh, yes. Yes, we do. We do. No, but I'm saying it's like, let's say if you went into, you just took a vacation and you went for 20 years, whatever. I don't know. You went into a freeze bath or something. I don't know how you do. I
mean, they call those comas.
You're freezing your testicles. Maybe got a control or something. They froze you for 20 years. You came back to life. How do you think it's going to be in 20 years? Is it going to still be a single player, single musician in front of a microphone with a guitar and a band behind them? Or is it going to be more of like, you know, I say like Sigur Rós, Icelandic band. They practice out of a empty pool. They create all kinds of different sounds and different things. Sigur Rós is way ahead of its time, I think, but not everybody's heard of them.
Well, and not everybody's heard of Wintergarden.
Yeah.
Which is, you know what I'm talking about. Wintergarden, the guy with the marble machine.
Yeah.
Did I send you that video?
No, but I vaguely remember what you're talking about.
He makes this incredible. It's basically, you know, the little wind up things that you, when you were a kid, you spin the little thing in the back and the little
little twisty
dances, and it
clicks
the little music box. My God, I'm such an idiot. It's essentially just a huge elaborate music box. That is basically a 6x10 music box, but it operates on steel ball bearings. So the sound for the music is produced when the steel ball bearings fall and hit something. He's got a bass guitar set up so that the balls fall and hit each string and make a certain sound. And then not a xylophone, but basically a xylophone. Where he's got a drum kit, and it's all marble induced. It's the coolest thing ever. And he essentially programs it with these strips of I don't even know. It's just like it's almost like a player piano idea.
Yeah.
So, but he can change the strips and make this. He's on his second marble machine now. And this guy basically builds it, constructs it, and he's like an engineer, musician, super artist guy out of Norway or something like that. And just the coolest thing ever. And I've been following him off and on for a while because it's just so fascinating. And it's Wintergarden with a W-I-N-T-E-R garden or something like that. And, or if you look up Marble Machine X, if you Google Marble Machine X,
All right. And the next time Sirius comes to concert, we're going to see him. You'll be breathless. It is the most fascinating bit of music you'll ever hear in your life. Lead singer plays guitar with a big bow. There's xylophones. There's electric keyboards, there's drums, there's everything. If you want to listen to Sigur Rós, it's S-I-R-G-U-S. Oh, wait, hold on. Sigur Rós. S-I-G, I can't remember how to spell it. R-O-S.
Yes.
Sigur Rós, S-I-G, something, I don't know.
I mean, R-U-S,
R-O-S. It means beautiful rose. Yeah. And they've got Metallica, actually. Has got a lot of they've complimented them a lot of times, and they've been on some soundtracks and stuff for different movies. But I've seen them over at the Fillmore in Detroit, and they will take your breath away. It's brilliant music. It really is. It's something you never heard of before.
I dig it, man.
Icelandic.
Yeah, I dig it. And, you know, there's a lot of creative Vikings out there.
There is.
Just, you know, they were pioneers in shipbuilding, and they were pioneers in invading countries, and pioneers now in music. And all sorts of stuff like that. I don't know. It's any Vikings out there, and we love you.
Yeah, you like Vikings.
I'm a Viking king. I dig them. All right, so, but yeah, so I mean, there's all sorts of creative stuff like that, and it could turn out to be this taking regular instruments and manipulating them to, you know, using a bow string for, you know, a bow to play a regular guitar. Pretty interesting idea, you know, but
yeah.
just going, you know what, I'm sick of the regular music. I'm going to try something completely different.
No, I know. That's why the correct spelling is S-I-G. Oh my God. S-I-G-U-R. And it's capital R-O-S. Sigurus.
Oh, yeah.
That's the way you spell it and pronounce it. Sigurus.
Okay.
I mean, it's a beautiful rose in, I think, Icelandic.
Okay.
But anyways,
I believe you.
Getting back to our topic.
There was one?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of went off on a tangent a little bit.
Yeah, I noticed how I let you take control.
No, you can take control if you want. I'm just kind of talking like,
no,
you know,
I dig it.
We're both in our 50s, and I think that we've seen a lot of music evolve over time. I think blues is on its way back with, you know, bands like the Black Keys and the White Stripes and whatnot. But I think music is going to change quite a bit the next 20 years. And I don't know if it's going to change for the better. It's gonna have a weird change to it. And I think for different reasons, you know.
Well, let me get out my magic eight ball.
Yeah.
And see, will music get better in the next 20 years?
Yeah, shake it really hard, will you?
Rattle, 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 rattle. Most likely not.
No?
I don't know. I'm just making it up. I can barely remember what I know I have a magic eight ball somewhere in the house. I don't know where it is. I just made that up. Because I'm just that kind of creative goofball. No, I'm not.
Fuckball says no. She just wants zippers. She likes zippers.
As in the squirrel nut zippers? I love those guys.
Yeah, she likes the squirrel nut zippers.
I love the squirrel nut zippers.
They didn't. They just came not too long ago. I wanted to go see them, but I missed their show, just like I did But that's okay.
What?
That's okay.
We were supposed to go see Squirrel Nut Zippers, and I had something?
No, I was going to get tickets, and I don't know. I kind of fucked a dog on them, and I missed them and whatever. They came and went. So right. I'm hoping 2021 will be a better year for shows, you know, since we haven't had any in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of holding my breath on Dead Can Dance, but with Dead Can Dance, I was telling you about, I'm not a huge fan, but I am a fan of Rage Against the Machine, and right. They are supposed to be coming back, and I went and checked on tickets for them. I think they're playing at Ford Field at Comerica. Guess how much tickets are for Lower Bowl? And I'm sorry, for general admission.
$120.
$275.
Yeah.
$275. And they will fill them up. It will fill up, guaranteed. $275 against the machine.
I would not pay that to go see the Rolling Stones.
No. And I've seen the Rolling Stones. Yeah, they're okay. I think I paid like $60 at Pioneer Silverdome, but I would not pay anywhere close to that for Rolling Stones. If the Beatles were still alive, I don't know if I'd even pay $275 for the Beatles. But Rage Against the Machine, $275 for general admission.
For a moderately good band.
Yeah, I went and I paid, I bought two tickets for Foo Fighters, general admission for my friend and I, Jeff, to go to, and I think I paid $175 a ticket for the Foo Fighters. Yeah, yeah. I wanted to go see him. You know what? I love Dave Grohl. I love him to death. He's one of my favorite musicians. But do I have any interest in seeing the Foo Fighters again? No, not at all. Zero.
Especially not for that money.
No, not for that money. No way. No way in heaven, bro. No way in heaven.
I'm sorry, but you know, I would rather spend that money. I could get my wife and I a really nice dinner at a really ritzy place for $175.
With me included.
I'm not bringing you.
Why not?
I mean, I love you and everything, but I'm taking my wife out to a nice expensive place.
I might just show up like, you know, end of the night and have a couple cocktails with you. Like, yeah, what are you doing here?
I am definitely not bringing the third wheel.
Well, it doesn't mean I have to go back with you, but I can share a meal with you. Yeah, I'd love to go out and share a meal with you and your wife.
I think we'd have a lot of fun. It would be silly and goofy.
I think so, too. You have a lovely wife.
I do. I really do. I still drive her crazy all the time, but, you know, that's my job as the husband.
Well, I bet.
You know. So I'm done with this topic, and I just want to know what's been going on with you, brother. How you been?
All's good. Real estate's good. Mm-hmm. Everything's pretty smooth. Been hanging out with my mom a little bit. Things are, you know, the big question mark is what's going to happen with the economy. We have a big election coming up. I think that's on everybody's mind. And
I got a big election.
Be a Biden election, or it's going to be a Trump election. And I worry. I think if it's a Trump election, things may go off. They may go haywire. I don't know. If there's a Biden election, I'm not too worried about it. I think people are expecting Biden to win. And I think everything's going to be okay. And I think everything's going to settle down. But if Trump wins, I think the cities might burn. I really do.
I don't know if the cities are going to burn. There's going to be some serious.
A lot of people don't want him back in office.
Yeah, I know a few. I know quite a few. I know quite a few on the other side, too. Who really want him back in office. And I'm like, you know my feelings. The less I hear about him, the less I hear words out of his mouth, the happier I am.
Right, right.
You know, he can fade off into the distance for all I care. Because I don't like bullies. That's just my
thing.
I don't like bullies. But anyway, I was going to say, I moved one of my kids into her apartment for college yesterday. And that was fun and interesting and exhausting. And there's six of them living in a six bedroom apartment.
Yeah, you worked your butt off, didn't you?
Well, not really. I just, you know, it's the bring back in the memory? No, because
the old days, come on.
No, I was too tired. I'm just like, you know what, here's your stuff, kid. Let me put this together, let me put that together. Here's another, you know, crap load of money we're going to spend on this, that, and the other so that you're all set.
Right.
Now, good luck and stay safe and wear your mask.
Yeah.
Be a good kid.
In a few weeks.
And she's going to be a good kid. So, I don't know. It's all goofy. And, you know, it's weird because she's in the medical program. So a lot of her classes actually have to be, you know, live with an actual instructor. There's labs and things that she's got to do. So she's got to do that, and, you know, the school's got to make sure they're doing their crap right so that this is handled properly. Nobody gets really sick, and, you know, who knows? At a certain point, I'm just like, you know what, just let's start trying this, and, you know, we're going to – I don't know. I don't know where to go with all that. Other than I'm really glad that the kid's happy and she's excited for school.
Well, good for you. Good for you.
So, yep. Something else I was going to ask you about, if I could figure out where my... So I'm sitting outside again in the lovely Detroit evening. If you can hear... Well, the crickets aren't so bad today.
No, sound pretty good.
Yeah. We talked about music news first. Oh, you know, that's the other thing is you know, the future, since we're talking politics crap, if 100 years now in the future, what's going to be like the scariest thing going on there? I mean, and I was trying to lead up to this with when I was talking about computers, because, you know, we've mapped the genetic code for a lot of different animals.
Right.
Right. And I'm just like wondering if, you know, our future is going to be some kind of, you know, scary Terminator thing, or maybe genetic manipulation gone wrong and we get spider sharks or something, you know, because I'm waiting for that movie. Eight-legged spider sharks.
Yeah.
You know, we've got Sharknadoes 1 through 7 or 12 or whatever. And then, you know, the six-headed shark movies, you know, all those crappy sci-fi B movies, which are hilarious.
Yeah.
Have you seen Sharknado?
No.
You've never seen any of them? There's only like 14 of them.
No, I skipped all of them. I was absent that day.
You were sick that day? Yeah.
Yeah, I was sick that day.
Oh, man. But it's just, it's funny crap. They sort of take themselves seriously, but almost not too seriously.
Right.
It's like some cross between Airplane and Titanic. And you're not you're not sure at certain points what's supposed to be funny or not.
Right.
And you're like, well, that was just plain stupid. And then someone says something dumb and someone says something dumb. And then the next thing you know, there's 48,000 sharks in a tornado flying through New York City. And one guy with a chainsaw attached to his hand just cutting up sharks as they fly by. And other people getting eaten by sharks as they fly by. It's like, what were you thinking? And, you know, I just love that kind of stuff. So the dumber the better sometimes when it comes to that kind of thing. But I'm thinking we're going to genetically modify sharks or, you know, something. And we're going to have huge spider sharks roaming around. And they're going to or maybe ice spiders or,
Bill,
octopuses with venom or I don't know. I'm sorry.
Before we have spider sharks.
Yeah. Sure.
The mothership's going to come down and he's going to get you. Mm-hmm. I guarantee it. I guarantee it.
The mothership is. From the red orb.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep. Hear me out. Hear me now, Eric. On Low Standards and Pores, we're going to see the mothership in 20 years.
Right.
Some of us are going to be a victim of that, Bill.
Do you have any idea how big space is?
Keep your bags packed. You might be a victim of the mothership.
Do you have any idea how big outer space is?
I know. That's my point.
But the idea that something would show up here on purpose or even on accident and have
they are here already, Bill.
Oh,
they monitor, Bill.
Okay. You strike me as a person who sometimes has rational thoughts and then other times does what you're doing right now.
Hallucinating?
Yeah, a little bit of that.
No, I know. It's always a good subject with us. Aliens or no aliens. I believe in aliens. You believe in no aliens. That's fine. But, Bill?
No. It's not fine. It's factual.
The mothership is going to come get you and take you away.
Well, Rick joined, so now we got to talk nice.
The mothership. Oh, Rick. Rick. Rick's a believer. Rick is a believer. Call in, Rick. Hurry up. We got about 10 minutes to talk to you.
And the mothership and the red orbs.
The mothership is Bill away. Send him to whatever. I don't know.
The Earth might as well be flat, Eric.
No. Mothership's coming to get you, Bill. Mothership's coming to get
you. You know, that's actually, didn't
CC Music Factory do that? Mothership's Gonna Get You? Or am I thinking
Mothership? Not
the rhythm,
CC Music.
The Rhythm's Gonna Get You? Who is that?
The Rhythm's Gonna Get You?
That chickie. What's her name? Yeah.
Not so CC Music Factory.
Mothership's Gonna Get You. Mothership's Gonna Get You. Yeah, whatever. Space is so big. It's everything is so far away, and yet there's, you know, it becomes when we're dealing with such large numbers, the possibilities of actually life elsewhere in the universe is extremely probable. But because of such vast distances, the idea that life in our solar system is going to meet up with life from another universe or galaxy or what have you. That's slim to none.
They say that there's distances 6 billion stars as of right now in the galaxy, and that there's as many Earth-like planets that surround those stars that are similar to that could be similar to our atmosphere right now. But that's just whatever. Not saying it's true. Not saying anything.
Right.
I'm just saying 6 billion stars out there with Earth-like planets that surround it.
Right. But again, you're missing the point.
What am I missing?
The point is, no matter what's the closest star with planets around it? 30, 40 light years away, 40,000 light years away. You have to travel at the speed of light for 30,000 years in order to get to, you know, Betelgeuse or whichever one it is that's in Orion. And that's so far away, but yet there's a possibility there could be planets with life around it, but the life that would be traveling would, even if it could figure out a way to whatever, it's 30,000 years away.
Yeah.
At the speed of light, and nothing travels at the speed of light except light. Because it's not physical. It's electrons and stuff like that. And damn it, I'm getting all sciencey. I hate when you make me.
No, you gotta listen to Bob Lazar. You gotta bend gravity to move faster than gravity.
Right, but you're never gonna travel faster than light.
Well, I don't know.
Maybe if they figure that out and. Then, you know, they'll figure out how to play guitar the right way again.
Well, I'm just saying that you can measure everything about how we know it today, but in reality, there's other ways to measure things. And once we take on maybe those other ways to measure it opens our mind to, like, maybe what might be able to happen.
I'm not saying the possibility isn't there for folding space or different things like that and taking – fine. I've watched enough sci-fi shows that – there's always a possibility. The probability is nil. The possibility is maybe. But even if you can do all that stuff, nobody knows we're here. You know, the amount of the distance that I'm sure there's somebody who can do. Hold on, somebody can do the math at some point, and probably has already figured it out. The first television transmissions, which would be broadcast and are now spreading across the universe at the speed of light, was, you know, in 1939 or 33 or whatever, with Hitler doing his thing. So that goes out there, and now it's been out there for 60, 70 years or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's gone, say, 70 light years. What has it hit? Nothing.
Yeah.
You know, nobody knows we're here. You know, there could be life on some other universe speculating. There's this tiny little red sun, and it seems to have a certain number of planets, and it might have one that could harbor life, but it's, you know, 30,000 light years away. We're never going to get to it. And they could have discovered it a million years ago on their planet, which has already exploded. Their star's already exploded.
Right.
And they no longer exist, but they figured out a way to travel, and they've been traveling for 30,000 years, and they might get here. Whatever. I don't know.
Well, look at it this way.
Yeah.
Let me put you in a different respect.
Okay.
Okay. So this Earth is a billion years old, correct? Roughly.
4.5 billion.
Right. So we are, if we measured our existence on this Earth, it's probably a fraction of a pinhead, right?
Right. Well, you saw the old Cosmos thing where he did the, and I'm just saying, oh, go on.
No, I'm just saying that between our existence and somebody else's existence, I think there's a lot more to learn other than just our existence. I think our existence is very simple. I think that we have a long way to go before we perfect any kind of long-term travel, I guess, maybe might be a way to say it, meaning outside our moon. If you want to talk about the dark side of the moon, if you want to talk about Mars, if you want to talk about, you know, different areas, yeah, it's a big question mark. Who knows? I don't know. It could be anything. But I think we as Americans, I think we as humans are not that educated. We're only educated on what people tell us. I think there's a lot more stuff out there that is, there's a lot more stuff out there we just don't know about.
Well, right. And the again, for the time period that our planet's been in,
I think we lost Bill, and we are going to invite him back on one more time. And there he is again, our El Carpe, co-host with Moses.
My phone is doing weird shit today. I don't understand.
Right.
No, I mean, what I'm saying is, the amount of time that our planet's been around, and then the amount of time we've actually been a knowledgeable species for maybe the last 30,000 years we've been Homo sapiens sapiens, and of the last 30,000 years, the last 600 years we've done enough to where we can actually think about and see beyond the outer space and what have you, and then the last 60 years, could you do that louder? That'd be awesome. The last 60 years, that's all right, I'm just being a dick. The last 60 years, we've actually started to branch out and look out into the outer space and actually, do stuff that makes us. But you have to think about the numbers, the amount of possible other life out there. What's the odds? And again, I can go through this briefly for a second, too, because of the way the numbers work. But what are the actual odds that another species or another population of some kind of intelligent life is going to be able to communicate with us at the same time frame that we are right now? You know what I mean?
I don't know.
Because 60,000 years ago, there could have been something really close to us that their planet died out and, they were only 6 light years away and they could have, or what, I don't know. But the odds of overlapping timelines is ridiculous. But then again, there are so many planets out there and so many stars with planets that at a certain point when the numbers get so big, even the unusual becomes normal. You know what I mean? Because there's so many chances for it to happen. It's going to happen every 8 seconds or whatever. Because the odds are so huge, and that's just a numbers game. But again, it's because the distances between places are so vast. There's almost no way that something, even if it is developed up to where we are right now, is going to be close enough to actually communicate with us before our sun goes supernova a billion years from now.
It sounds like a good topic for our time.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I just vented my entire knowledge of anything space related. But you start talking with the red orb shit and the mothership and all that sarcastic bullshit.
I'm telling you, the red orb just come down on top of the Temple Mount, the holiest site in the world, twice in the last 10 years.
You just know
how you tell me that, Mister. I don't believe her.
I am a non-believer,
Schmeezer, Ebenezer. Yeah.
I am an Ebenezer. It's just
you are an Ebenezer. So
whatever. Show me the facts.
I will. Show me. I'll show them to you on video.
Yeah. Whatever.
I will show them to you on video.
Mm-hmm.
All right. It is clicking over at 1 hour, 1 minute, and 10 seconds.
And about 45 minutes of that was me fucking up on my phone.
Yeah, that's all right. Yeah,
we'll figure it out. So
maybe once Bill gets off that flip phone, we'll be all right.
Yeah, eventually. That's been Eric.
You know what? And that's been a Bill. He's our host for tonight. Lovely Bill that he is. We just got accepted onto Amazon. We can be listened to on iHeartRadio.
How are we on Amazon?
I have no idea, but I got us on there. And
like you can say, Hey, Alexa.
Let's not go that far. You could give it a try, but I can't guarantee anything.
All right. I'm just thinking out loud. Sure. Whatever.
All those lovely podcast sites we could be heard on. We are on our 25th podcast, and we are getting smooth, and we are getting, more entertaining.
Psychotic.
And more psychotic. Yeah.
Absolutely.
The whole premise of this podcast, I don't know if Bill wants to tell you, if I want to tell you, but it was originally that Bill and I went to a church concert, the church meaning the group church, which was the first leg of the North American tour here a couple years ago in Ferndale. Yep. And we went and listened to them, and as we were looking pretty much over and beyond the crowd next to the bar, because we were next to the bar and closest to the John, as we always are.
More important for him to be near the John, more important for me to be near the bar, or the other way around, depending on which one of us had bladder issues that night. I can't remember.
Exactly. I asked Bill, I said, you know, it'd be a great thing for a podcast to kind of listen to people and see what they thought about the show and what it reminded them of and where they were at and what kind of situation they were in. So unfortunately, because of COVID and 2020, our concerts got shut down, but hopefully our listeners did not. So we are going to get back into the local Detroit music.
You know, that was why we started, and why Eric thinks we actually know stuff. I don't know.
Right, right. I was riding Bill's coattails.
I have coattails.
Well, you don't know, but you did.
I haven't worn a coat forever.
Right.
I worn one with tails. I think I got married in tails, and that was the last time.
They would have some coattails on them.
Yeah.
But, anyways.
We're idiots.
Yeah.
We are idiots.
That was the reason why we started this podcast. And as soon as the Detroit music kind of starts to get started again, we're going to be there at concerts asking people what they thought of the concerts and getting their opinions and what they thought and blah, blah, blah. And get a little bit more in depth about Detroit music here, but everything's kind of on the flat. So until we get there, we're just going to be ourselves.
And
is that good or bad?
We'll just be over here exposing ourselves.
Yeah.
And that's the last thing you want is for us to expose ourselves.
Yeah. FaceTiming everybody there.
That's a Ghostbusters 2 quote. Something about, exposing yourselves, and that's I don't know.
Can you remember all the doctor? It was what were the doctor's names? Remember?
Venkman.
Yeah, Venkman was Murray, right?
Doctor Venkman, I thought was the
guy that died, the producer that died,
the writer that died, skinny guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
What's his name? Yeah. Whatever. God, great movie. Go see Ghostbusters. It's hilarious.
Yeah, go see Ghostbusters. I haven't seen it.
In theaters near you. Never. Because theaters aren't even open.
Right, right. All right. All right. Well, nevertheless, it's been a great podcast. We'll be on this same time Wednesday with some other great, wonderful topic that we'll come up with. He will be our co-host or host or co-host or whatever he wants to be.
Let me put it to you this way, Eric. We're going to bullshit our way through another hour.
Yeah.
And have a good time talking to each other. And if anybody else wants to join in and listen, you're more than welcome. And, you know, this is you keep saying this is going to be a great show, and this has been a great show. And I just realized we're horrible. And the best part about it is it's the horrible it's the horrible that you and I enjoy.
High standards and pours. We're low standards.
Low standards and pours. And we have low standards, and we've been pouring all night. But
exactly. How more fake can it be?
Well, right, exactly. But the key here is the fact that this essentially is a recorded phone call between you and me talking about shit we want to talk about. And if somebody else wants to listen, well, thank God for that. Maybe we can make a dollar or two. If we make a dollar a month ever on this, I would be amazed. If we ever get more than three fans that are not related to us, I'm going to be amazed.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. Well, we're stuck at 25 followers, and that's it. Oh, here's my mom calling in right now. Hold on. I'll have to let you go, Bill. See you later. Talk to you later. Bye.
All right.